Well, I hope you came ready for preaching. Brother Doug did stop me earlier and tell me I forgot something during the announcements, and I thought it was pretty important. So before, that's right, he said, I want you to sign up to pray, and that's very important, but he said there's a sign-up sheet back there for all the chicken, barbecue, chicken noodle soup for the sore throats, all the things that, you know, all the, we need to feed all the different shifts of men that'll be up there as DJs. So we do stay all day long up there. We start morning and go till late at night. And so if you could help us by signing up to bring something up there, that'd be a big help to us as well to keep us fed. And so we're thankful for all that. They've always done a good job of that, haven't they, Brother Doug? Amen. They always have. So I appreciate you reminding me about asking them to bring fried chicken. Or something like that, you know. Now, boiled peanuts. Anyway, so I don't want to take too much time, but I'll just say this. I appreciate the Walkers being here, the faithfulness they've given to the Lord. And I'll encourage you. I'm sure he'll say something. Make sure you say something about the table. They have wonderful resources. When folks like this are in town, don't let them get out of town without getting their books, tapes, CDs. I'm not sure what hats they have, but if they have MAGA hats back there, make sure you get them too. Amen.
Hey, take your Bibles this morning and open up anywhere because it's all good. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5 here this morning. Matthew chapter 5. And, well, may I say thank you for your kindness and your hospitality. We always enjoy coming to Landmark. You're our kind of people. Make us feel welcome and wanted. Hope you stop by our ministry display table, pick up one of our prayer cards. Got a picture of Champ and Dixie Dog, our contact information on the back. Guaranteed to keep the bugs out of your Bible, amen. And if you enjoy the music, if you like the banjos, guitars, fiddles, harmonicas, and all that, well, that's what these, our CDs are. In fact, we've taken our last three CDs and thrown them on a flash drive. For those of you that have the new cars, they don't even have CD players, or they don't have cassettes, or they don't have 8-tracks. You know, but stop by and take a look if you're interested. And if you've never seen Champ and Dixie Dog's performance, we've got that captured on DVD. It's been a great tool to present the gospel. And if you have children in your family that you're trying to get the gospel to, maybe you got some kinfolk that they don't take their kids to church and you're a burden for them. Well, a great way to get the gospel in their home, they'll watch the smiling trick horse wearing tennis shoes with a dog on its back. And their presentation illustrates the gospel clear, plain, and simple. We used it this morning for the children and the drive-in and the buses alike, and many were saved, and praise the Lord for that. So that's back there on the table, and we do have some materials that we've put together through the years. One of the new items is called Kids Will Be Kids. It's a book full of practical life lessons for children of all ages, and got some stories from the farm and the ranch. And our friends of ours have put this together, and we carry it around and help them because it's a great source of material for you to use with your kids, grandkids, and so you can take a look at that back there at the table if you're interested here at the end of the service. And, of course, we've got some different things that could be a blessing or a help to you. They asked me about the hats and stuff. Well, those are just soul-winning tools. In fact, yesterday, Brother Cody was here from the auto parts house, and he all the time wears a hat that says something about God, Jesus, and boy, he said, I use it all the time just to be a witness, to be a testimony. And he showed up yesterday at the Senior Patriots and wanted to see Champ and Dixie perform, and he loves y'all and speaks highly of this church, and it's just a tool to get reach people. And so if it can be a blessing or help to you, my stepdaddy wore that FBI hat, and he got more people saved wearing that crazy thing. And it just is a tool to a firm believer in Jesus. But they would see FBI, you know, and he'd strike up a conversation with them, and he'd end up giving them the gospel. Amen. But it just could be something to be a help to you and a source along the way. Now, people ask me, you always pack a pistol when you preach. You're packing a pistol. Well, I believe in the right to bear arms, and it's just it's a crowd control tool. Nobody falls asleep in my services. If they do, I just pull it out, and we just fire off around. We wake them up. So nobody sleeps. Nobody feels led to get up, walk out. And it really works good, preacher, for soul winning. Everybody I talk to wants to pray. Because I just tap my pistol and say, if you died today, do you know you go to heaven? Man, everybody I talk to gets saved. Amen. So, anyway, all right. Well, now that you're awake, here we go. One time I did that, shot it off, and there was they had all the teenagers sitting over here. They had a bunch of teenagers from the city. Man, when I fired that pistol off, they were ducking, they were hitting the floor. Because they were used to guns going off in their neighborhood, and they was dodging bullets, right? So, anyway, and they didn't sleep during the service either, but anyhow, Matthew chapter 5 here this morning, Matthew chapter 5, and let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew 5, verse number 13. I want to take these verses this morning, and you will not soon forget the visual aid sermon that you're going to see. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be good for nothing. My daddy had a real low tolerance of lazy people. And he would say, if somebody was lazy, wouldn't work, he'd say, he's good for nothing. He ain't worth the powder it'd take to blow him up. Well, that's pretty sorry if you're not worth the powder it'd take to blow you up. The Bible says if we lose our savor, we're good for nothing. In verse 14, he also says you're the light of the world because you can't have light without salt, as you will see in a moment. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the souls that's been saved. And we pray for decisions to be made for you. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. The Bible says you're the salt. Salt. We sing that song with the children in Sunday school. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The Bible says you're the light. He says let it shine so other people can see, huh? He also says you're the salt. Now, why would he say salt? He could have said, you're the sugar. You're the spice. But he says, you're the salt of the earth. Why salt? Well, salt is essential to good health. Your body's cells must have salt in order to live, to function, and to work. There's over 14,000 uses for salt. Salt is used as a seasoning for food. It's also used to make ice cream. Salt is used to melt snow. And believe it, and you have a lot of that around here. That's why you have so much salt. It keeps it all going, right? But watch this. Salt is used to melt snow, but it's also used to make ice cream. Salt is used by meat packers and chemical companies. And believe it or not, it's used to make ice cream. Oh, yeah. Salt is used by hide and leather processors. And food processors use salt. And believe it or not, they use it to make ice cream. There you go. Hey, salt is used to make glass, soap, washing detergents, paper, rayon, and ice cream. Oh, yeah. Salt is used to purify water. They use it to preserve food and kill germs. So eat your ice cream. That's right, man. Kids need ice cream before they go to bed. It's going to keep them healthy. Kills germs. That's right. It's also used to hold firm the materials used to build roads. Salt. Salt. You'd die without salt. Just like this world would die and go to hell if it weren't for some salty, separated, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior. We got to have some salty Christians. They're the ones that make a difference. Salt is used as a symbol of purity. In fact, it was an ancient Hebrew custom to rub down newborn babies to ensure good health. That's what they thought. If we rub them down with babies, I'm sure maybe some of you, probably Brother Morgan, he's old. He's probably was rubbed down with salt to ensure good health. Yeah. Salt, all right? They felt that among many people, salt is still used as a sign of honor and friendship and hospitality. It was the chief economic product of the ancient world. Salt was once so scarce, it became precious and it was used as money. In fact, Caesar's soldiers received part of their pay in salt. And it is from this that the word salary comes from. And the term not worth his salt meant a man didn't earn his wages. All right? Salt. It's mentioned 46 times in Scripture. Bible says in Job 6:6, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? I'm here to tell you no. Can you imagine French fries without salt? Potato chips without salt? Pinto beans without salt? Tomatoes without salt? Steak without salt? Brisket without salt? I'm getting hungry. Amen. Salt. Man, I need salt to keep my blood pressure up. Amen. Salt. Man, thank the Lord for salt. Man, them separated salty soul-winning serving saints for the Savior. They're the ones that make a difference. Salty Christians make things better. Yeah. They're the ones that stop and help somebody out that's broke down alongside the road. Huh? They're in line, and whenever they pay at the drive-thru, they say, hey, I want to pay for that guy behind me. They don't know who he is, but I just want to be nice to him. And they reach in their pocket, and they pull out one of them landmark tracts, like I'm sure that all the church members have. I bet you all the deacons and all the Sunday school teachers, I bet they all are just loaded down with tracts. I bet they pass them out everywhere they go. And they'll say, hey, take this and give it to the person and tell them that we paid for their food and we hope they come see us. Oh, yeah, you know, that makes a mark. Oh, yeah. Salty Christians do things like that. Salty Christians give in for the right of way. Let somebody else go. They stand back and hold the door and let somebody walk in front of them. Salty Christians make a difference. I remember Brother House telling a story. Never forgot it. He was at a restaurant, and he had been preaching at a conference, and he wanted to get a cup of coffee and some soup. He sat down in the restaurant there, little mom-and-pop place, and there was nothing on the table. And the waitress come up, and she was in a foul mood. And she said, what do you want? And he said, well, ma'am, I'd like to have a menu and some silverware and a glass of water, please. She huffed and walked away as though that was a big bother. Brought it back to him, set it there on the table. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Please, ma'am. Is that all you can say? He said, yes, ma'am. She turned and left. She come back a few minutes later. Well, what do you want? He said, I'd like to have a cup of coffee and a bowl of soup. Thank you. She brought it to his table and she set it down. So abruptly it spilled, made a mess. Never came back to check on him. Whenever he finished the coffee and the soup, he reached into his wallet. He turned to page number 20, got out a gospel tract, put that $20 bill in the gospel tract and laid it there on the table for a $5 meal with that kind of service. And he began to walk out. As he was walking through the doors, she was ornery. She was in a foul mood, but she was honest. She came running to him with that tract and $20 bill saying, wait, sir, you left this on the table. Because she knew who would give her 20 bucks for a $5 meal in that sorry service. And he said, ma'am, he said, don't they believe in tipping around here? She just bowed her head because she knew she was not being a good server. And he said, I perceive that you're having a bad day. Because you see, when things are broken, they don't run right. And when something like that's going on in somebody's life, you just ought to step back and realize something's happened here. There's something that's caused this behavior.
She's been hurt. She's been wronged. A tragedy has come her way. He said, I'm a preacher, and I'd like to know if there's anything I could pray with you about, something I could help you with. And she broke down. She began to weep, and she said, Preacher, my husband walked out on me this morning and left me a note. I found it this morning whenever that I was coming to work. She said, I never saw it coming. I didn't expect it. And it has just turned my world upside down. And he began to talk to her and to comfort her. And in a few moments, he was able to lead her to Jesus. And she was sweetly saved right there at the door. Oh, yeah. See, salty Christians, they make a difference. Salty Christians don't react to people, they act. Salty Christians have an impact. Salty Christians, they preserve this country. Oh, yeah, they've preserved this nation. That's why this nation has been blessed so much, and that's why it's called the American Dream. It's not called the China Dream. It's not the Filipino Dream. It's not the Russian Dream. It's the American Dream, and it's because this country was founded upon God, upon godly principles, upon propagating the gospel, on and on. Oh, yeah. See, they're rewriting history. They don't want your kids to know that, you know, John Smith witnessed to Pocahontas, and she got saved and was baptized, and they called her Rebecca, and she toured Europe. They don't want you to know that. They want you to think that she converted them over to their polytheism and their multi-gods. And, oh yeah, see, they're trying to sweep our Christian heritage under the rug. But it's the salty Christians that have made an impact and have made a difference. Man, you can't go to Washington, D.C., and there's God is everywhere. Prayer meetings are everywhere. They're going to have to deface Washington. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the salty Christians that have made an impact. The salty Christians that's made a difference. Thank God for them. Now, the Bible, or they also say, not only are we salt, but he said, you're the light. Because you won't have light without salt. I'll show this to you here. I got a lamp underneath this cloth here, and I've got a container of water, and I've got a short-circuited wire in the water. Took one of the two wires, split it, and got it tucked down here in the water, and I got some electricity. Now, I need a volunteer to come up and stick their finger in this water to see if it's got power. Yeah, I'll do it. You won't be happy with me if you did that. Don't do that, okay? It could kill you, that's for sure. All right, and so here we go. Now, we're supposed to let our light shine. This container of water represents the world, okay? God says, I need a light to a lost and dying world. But without some separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior, in a lost and dying world, there'll be no light. That's why God said, I need a light. And he sent you. God said, I need a light. And he sent Brother Carter. God said, I need a light. He sent Brother Barry Parsons. God said, I need a light. Oh, yeah. And he put you in your workplace. God said, I need a light. And Iloilo, Philippines, and he sent missionary Rick Martin, went over there with a basketball under his arms, picked up a ball game with eight boys out on the ball court, and they thought he was a sports star, and he was just a decent ball player and a little taller than them, but he played ball, and he sat them all down and witnessed to them, and all those boys got saved. He started his church, and now if you go there in the Philippines, you'll see it takes up an entire city block. They'll have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people there at any given time. They got a Bible college with hundreds and hundreds of students, and they've started thousands of churches across the Philippines, and hundreds of thousands of Filipinos have gotten saved because God said, I need a light. And he sent missionary Rick Martin over there to give a light. Because see, with some light or with some salt into a lost and just seeing if you're awake here. It's a plastic spoon. Very important. Well, let's see what happens into if we put some separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior in a lost and dying world. Let's see what happened. Oh, yeah, there we go. Now, this ain't a trick. It's not a gimmick. It's not an illusion. It is what you see. The salt, you can't have light without salt in a lost and dying world. Oh, yeah. Man, that's what this country needs, to be able to see. Man, God, give us some more separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior, because the more separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior, the brighter the light gets. Oh, thank God for those separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior. Let their light shine to be able to help them to see. God said, I need a light. And he sent Margaret Stringer over to New Guinea, to a tribe of headhunters, a tribe of cannibals, people that everybody else was afraid to go see. Have you ever met Margaret Stringer? Have you heard of her? Margaret, an amazing, amazing person. Still alive, I believe she's in her 80s. And every once in a while, Loretta runs across her in some ladies' meetings. But she is a infamous, single, missionary lady that went to a tribe of cannibals, a tribe of headhunters, those that were feared. Nobody went into that part of the country without being invited over for supper, and you were supper. They were cannibals, headhunters, killed everybody that came in. And she said if they had Jesus, they wouldn't be cannibals. They need to get saved. And so she did what nobody else would do. And she ventured into that land. And she took a trip, floated down the Brazos River. Took her several days to get there. There was a tribal warfare going on, and she had to sleep in a tree house that was about 20 foot square up on stilts that just looked like it would fall over at any minute. Had multiple odors, and over 42 people were sleeping in there. And she ended up eating stuff that you wouldn't even step on. But she did that because she was a separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saint for the Savior. And because, and then once she got down to the end of the river, a helicopter picked her up and took her and dropped her off with two natives. And there was no place for them to land. They actually had to jump out of the helicopter onto the ground where they found the Vacabas people. And the headhunters grabbed them and drug them into the longhouse where they actually killed and cooked and ate people. And that's what they were going to do with them. And they kept trying to tell them, we're here to tell you about Jesus. We're here at we're not here to hurt you. We're not here to steal your women. We're not here to, we're, and amongst all the confusion and the chaos, as they were drug into that longhouse, she said, all of a sudden, something happened. All of a sudden, they quieted down. All of a sudden, they sat down, they put down their spears, and they put down all of their weapons, and they listened. First ones to ever not get killed, not get eaten. And they listened to Margaret, they listened to Noack, they listened to Timok as they began to witness to them, and they allowed them to leave and to come back, and it took them 5 years. 5 years of coming in and out. 5 years of flying overhead and dropping off gifts and presents. 5 years of presenting. 5 years of using big giant flashcards to present and to take them from, because they knew nothing. So they had to take them all the way from the beginning to Jesus. And guess what? One of the first people to get saved was the chief. And the assistant chief. And it ended up being over 60% of the village got saved because there was a lady who was willing to risk her life to take the gospel. God said, I need a light to those cannibals and headhunters. I need somebody that would be some salt and make a difference and have an impact. God says, I need you to do that. I need you to be salt. I need you to be light. I need you to be able to have an impact, because this little light of mine I'm gonna let it shine, this the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, this the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine to help them to see. That's our job. Because you can't have light without some separated, salty, soul winning, serving saints for the Savior. It won't work. You got to have it. Thank God for those who brought the light to us. Thank God for those that let their light shine. Man, I'll never forget whenever that I saw the light. Amen. On the tombstone of J. Frank Norris, it is inscribed, I would do anything to keep a man out of hell. Oh, yeah. God, help us to be willing to do what it takes to let our light shine, to help people to see. God said, I need a light. What do they got to see? They got to see that Jesus is the only way. What do they got to see? Without Christ, they'll go to hell. What do they got to see? They got to see there's joy in serving Jesus. They need to see that you can be happily married. People need to see that you can raise kids that'll turn out right for God. People need to see it pays to serve Jesus and put God number one in your life. People need to see the gospel, see the fact that I am a sinner and that I deserve hell. They need to see the fact that the wages of sin is death. I'll never forget when I saw the light. Whenever I realized that Jesus died for me, they got to see that they got to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because he's the only way for them to ever get to heaven. Oh, yeah. I'm glad that I saw the light. The old song written by the country music star, I Saw the Light, was written after he got saved. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool too. Wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Do you remember when you saw the light? If you're here today and you say, preacher, I see the fact that I'm lost. I see the fact that I deserve hell. I see the fact that Jesus loves me and died for me, and I'd like to accept that free gift of eternal life. Well, you're in the best place you could be to get that cared for, because we would love to pray with you and help show you the way, help you to see the light. If you're here today and say, preacher, I remember when I saw the light, then why don't you decide today, I want to be a salty, separated, soul-winning, serving saint for the Savior. Because without that, in a lost and dying world, Without, I don't know of a church that's had an impact in Florida like Landmark Baptist Church. Can you imagine how things would be if it weren't for some salty Christians letting their light shine? Well, they'd be in darkness. Huh? Your family would be on their way to hell. Cody, the parts man, I was telling you, he'd be on his way to hell. Huh? Miles. He told me to tell you. He said, ask Brother Carter if he knows Winston Miles. I used to race him. He said, I never saw nothing but his bumper. And you know what he told me? He said, I got saved here. He's 80-something year old. I thought, wow, what a blessing to have some salty, separated, soul-winning, serving saints, letting their light shine to help them to see. God, help us to do it. My time is up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be salt. Help us to let our light shine. I pray, dear God, that you allow us to make a difference, an impact Lord, if there's anybody here yet today and they've never received you as their Savior, Lord, they see the light, but they've not called upon you, I pray you'd help them to make that decision today. If you're here today, say, preacher, I've made that decision. I remember when I saw the light. I remember when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'll see you in heaven. Who could raise their hand as a testimony saying, I'll see you there. I'm going to meet you in heaven, preacher. Oh, God bless you. I see your hands all across this auditorium. Amen. You ought not to ever get tired of raising your hand on that. Now, I want you praying right now for those who couldn't and didn't raise their hand. Because if you're here today and saying, preacher, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I don't have a peace in my heart that I will go to heaven when I die. But I'd like to get that cared for today. I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior today. I see the light. I see what I need to do. In just a moment, we'll stand. In just a moment, the piano will play. And if that's you, I hope you'd leave your seat. You come down to the front and find a place to pray. The preacher will meet you down here and help you make the greatest decision in your life. And if you are saved, let's decide this morning, I'm going to let my light shine. I don't want to lose my Savior. I don't want to be good for nothing. I want to make a difference. Let's all stand together as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, bless now as we have this invitation. May decisions be made for you. We'll thank you for it. We ask this in your name as the pianists begin to play a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, you leave your seat, you come. Find a place to come and to pray. God has dealt with you. I don't want to lose my Savior. I want to have an impact. Maybe you got somebody with you today and you're not sure that they'll meet you in heaven. Well, nudge them. Talk to them. Approach them right now and say, I love you. I care about you. I want you to be in heaven with me. I'll go forward with you. You can come with them. Be a part of making the greatest decision of all, accepting Christ as your Savior. These have come, these are praying, you obey the Lord this morning. Do you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism? The first step of obedience after salvation is baptism. It has no saving power, but it's the first step of obedience. To identify with Jesus and show him you love him, you come. The preacher will come, he'll take over the invitation, but you obey God this morning. Whatever your need is, you come. We'd love to help you and be a blessing. Preacher.